Okay. Thank you all for being here. Just a quick personal note, it's been an incredible 8-year journey I've been on. I'm giving a talk tomorrow on that. So just being here on a personal level is a small miracle. So I'm very happy to be here. And I haven't given a talk like this in that 8-year period. So thank you guys for being the first victims. My name is Farsam Shadab. I am the founder of InterInactive. I have been a student of integral theory since the very late 90s. And there's a small amount of time, so I'll be quick. I originally had a longer presentation prepared. So I will just start off with what I think is the most condensed form of like dropping all of us into this bigger technological question by showing this brilliant film by this Japanese filmmaker who was trying to project out, in a sense, some of the worst possible technological trends of the next 10 years, all condensed into a single unified, immersed experience he calls hyper-reality. So for those of us who follow some of this stuff, there's lots of talk about the emergence of augmented reality. There's all kinds of debates about AR versus VR versus MR versus XR. But for me, the best encapsulation is some form of augmented reality. For people who really get into technical integral theory and go so far as to get into the meta theory and then into integral critical realism, we take the term reality kind of seriously. And we're not about to let a bunch of exoterically fixated technologists start to define the very experience of reality for the masses. So in some sense, my talk is a call to integralists to collaborate together. I have a personal invitation I will mention at the end to work on this, but I do have a strong feeling that the integral community can have a stronger voice in this than they have in the last two decades. When we get into spiral dynamics, orange versus green, I talk a lot about mom, not just mean green meme, but mean orange meme, and how that level of development really owns the technology conversation, first coming out of Silicon Valley, but now absolutely as a global consideration. And I don't think anybody can talk fast enough to keep up with everything that's happening. So this is 6 minutes. I'll play 3 minutes of it. And just the setting is, it is maybe like if everything went in a completely materialistic direction, this could be the life of people in the not-too-distant future. So I will do my best to get this playing here. Excuse the annoying noises. This is the experience of an individual traveling through a city. Too loud. Do you guys have the volume?
Seguro che non è mai stato disponibile. Mio padre, il professore, io sto arrivando nel caos.
Y además fue descrevarte con los puntos de fidelización. Eres una noche infortunada. Tienes que aplicar en la aplicación. Te sientes inseparada. Gracias. De ya.
¿Quién soy yo? No es lo que quiero decir. ¿Por dónde voy? No. ¿Puedo volver a empezar?
Hola otra vez.
So this is the key. When the artificial reality disappears, you see a world that's been perhaps neglected, perhaps disassociated from. And this artificial overlay has become normal for everyone. I will stop it here just because of time. Do you guys know how many minutes I have left? Okay. We don't just see technology projected there. That's a vision of hyper-capitalism, in a sense. And deep distractedness, having become incredibly normalized. The great thing about sort of dystopian visions like this is that they do project maybe a worst-case scenario. I don't personally feel, with or without integral theory, that that's likely to happen, although one can never tell for sure. However, the flip side of this, and that's where the real integral conversation is, in my opinion, is what could we do with this level of potential intense intermediation of experience if we are people talking about, polyphasic views of consciousness, different visions of how we might embody our existence and how that can be facilitated with the right use of technology, technology that is informed with a kind of intersubjective sense of beingness. Lots of integral theory could be thrown at this and perhaps stick in different ways. I would like to invite anybody with any major questions to throw anything out, because I think an inquiry-based dialogue would be valuable in however many minutes. About 11 minutes? Good. So at the same time, I just will lay out a couple of basics of where I've been and how I'm seeing this. One of the things I would like to emphasize is that integral theorists, whatever our background, our emphasis and disposition, have a lot more to say about this than I think we give ourselves credit for. Having very recently, in fact, been immersed in the belly of the beast in Silicon Valley, I've had the opportunity to push both CEO types and academic engineering theorist types to a bit of their edges. And what I often find is the emperor wears no clothes, and that they're lacking deep, rigorous philosophical backgrounds. And I often find that the tail is wagging the dog rather than the other way around. They don't have deep, systematic, philosophical, rigorous ways of viewing reality. They've largely gotten caught up in corporate, business, technological trends, and are often, usually, just as we might imagine, which is understandable, of course, pursuing some kind of careerist outcome for themselves, find themselves maybe at a higher tier at Facebook or Google or Amazon, and no longer are they privy to the opportunity to discourse the longer-term implications. I will bring your attention to one brilliant man. His name is Tristan Harris, TristanHarris.com. Tristan Harris, you can just Google him. He was a brilliant Google engineer who did some whistleblowing around 2006 and 7. Has anyone heard of his work? Okay, great. He caught a development team taking advanced neuroscience the neuroscience of addiction at a very, very technical level and bringing it into to Google and purposefully reverse engineering it, so to speak, to make, at that time, some app design and some user experience design addictive on purpose. Now, they wouldn't have articulated it that way, but it doesn't matter whether they said those phrases in their own minds. They were effectively using our best neuroscience against humanity. And so he started blowing the whistle, and Google, in a strangely positive move at that time, did not fire him, did not suppress him and try to make him go away. They created a position for him, and they named that the chief of ethical design or something approximating that. And Tristan has gone on. He's published a great book, which has been a great inspiration to me as well, on the idea of ethical design. And I do think good ethical design requires more than a multidisciplinary and interdisciplinary approach, but really kind of an integral transdisciplinary approach. And we are right now perhaps positioned really nicely to influence the conversation because, again, these are profound openings, in my view, from an integral perspective or altitude or vantage point to kind of get in there and really shape and influence these things. As we might say, nature abhors a vacuum. So if, in lieu of something profoundly more integrative being offered, actually something very compromised will be put in its place. So and another quote or vision to fall back on is the Buckminster Fuller adage, really just about not competing with the existing paradigm, but to go obsolete it by out-creating it. So for me, on a personal level, there's a desire to out-create the existing systems that are in place. And speaking of systems, there is a dominance in the lower right quadrant of systems theory. That's, in my opinion, the very tail that is wagging the dog of the rest of the dimensions of reality as we see them. And again, I test this hypothesis. I don't just take it as any kind of personal experience of an integral theory that I personalize into dogma. I go into deep discussions with really fantastic people who are good-hearted, but they perhaps haven't gotten that reality configuration. So with my own organization and networks I've built in the United States, we are doing a conference this fall in Silicon Valley. I'll definitely find a way to promote it to the entire Integral European Conference when the time is right. But it will be about seeding more of an integral vision and inviting participants to collaborate internationally on this and hopefully make enough of a global difference. Back to Tristan Harris and the ethical design principles, there is some sense out there that there may be runaway corporatocratic technological potentials that are perhaps impenetrable. We could have thousands of university departments around the world committed to ethical, visions of this, that, or the other thing. But if a handful of very, very powerful, wealthy corporations just decide to flip a switch or release a product or create neural interfaces that they, sort of drip into society a little bit at a time, it doesn't matter how philosophically entertaining we are to ourselves. We won't make that big of a difference. I beg to differ, and I do think time is everything. There are pretty reliable industry analysis numbers. It's 2018, and there are projections that this industry, which they're just loosely calling AR, will be about a $40 billion global industry by 2021. That's a pretty reliable industry analysis firm. And then take off from there. Integrally speaking, I think AR will kind of be the thing that eats and takes up, transcends and includes, and negates and includes a lot of other prior technological trends. So if we kind of see sort of the early to mid-90s through now as like a singular first phase, and the next coming windows, I don't personally feel that the singularians or the singularitarians, led by Ray Kurzweil and others, have it right. The over-reliance on Moore's Law and all this locks them into a very, very rigid way of thinking and projecting. They do have a kind of an encampment within Silicon Valley, and you kind of run into them here, there, and they don't necessarily have that sort of self-reflective capacity to examine their own belief system on a rigorous enough level that would have them go, well, maybe some of my core precepts are the fundamental error that I'm making. They're just kind of rigidly, dogmatically insisting that, well, even if it's off by an order of magnitude or two, it's going to come, it's going to happen. you know, you probably are all familiar with some version of the singularitarian vision of what the future will be in their very linear way of looking at things. Nevertheless, there are perhaps pervasive, as I call them, body-mind invasiveness risks. I wish we had the time. I would query a lot more people in the room. People have probably thought about this. We think a lot about the mind and being and consciousness and by default, neuroscience. So are we going to look at cognition off of a neurocomputational metaphor, which is my university department in San Diego was very much dominated by that vision. I challenged it. Didn't seem that I could make much of a difference at the time, but I feel like an organized effort to articulate a fundamentally more holistic and integrated vision that allows for occasional empirical emphasis on some aspect of being so that the brain is an object that can be studied, but perhaps from a more integral consideration as an embodied phenomenon, not in isolation, using the various intelligences that Integral has been so brilliant at mapping and all the other intersubjective aspects of life and wellness in a model that can, you know, handle the complexity that would need to be digested in order to perhaps, you know, lay out this kind of a vision. So with all that said, there is definitely, in my view, an opportunity to lay out integral ethical design precepts, and that will actually be the goal of our conference this fall, is to come out of it with the initial framework from different quadrants and different zones of analysis and different, contributions from people who have very, very worked out experience in integral theory in their particular areas of application. So I have about 2.5 minutes left if anyone wants to throw any questions my way. I think it would be a really exciting opportunity to learn, you know, who's here and what's going on. And yes, go ahead.
My question is, Google disrupted Do No Evil.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I run a Facebook group called Technological, I've kind of tried to track whatever trends are happening there. I just noted that, interestingly enough, I think they're probably doing it because of the recent challenges that a lot of the Titans are facing, and also, the threats to break up their monopolies and antitrust efforts that are out there. But I always thought it was strange that they said it in the first place. In the 90s, it was really nifty when they put that out there. I feel that I think you just have to take a really granular look at what they're doing on a daily basis. I would Google something called The Selfish Ledger, which is an internal experimental film that just leaked a couple weeks ago. The Selfish Ledger, a journalist got a hold of this, but it was an internal film about how they were taking 1800s Lamarckian epigenetics theory and applying it to what they're looking at in a very disturbed manner. They were calling it behavioral sequencing instead of gene sequencing, and they were going to try to influence our moment-to-moment decision-making in our daily lives. As Google kind of already does, it tracks a lot of things we do, but they wanted to take a more proactive effort. On one hand, that could seem very appealing because you could have a lot of really brilliant things suggested your way. But on the other hand, then they're going to really be mapping extreme amounts of detail of our lives that it makes what they're doing right now look like nothing. So
that's pretty evil. Thanks.
Yes. Someone here? Yes.
Can you point us in the direction of resources that you might be aware of that illustrate what an integral tech company or integral tech design might look like?
Thank you. Great question. I would like to be, getting into that topic in a very, very specific way this fall. I think we really have to take into consideration all the core considerations around integral theory in the first place. I think you have to look at the fact that there's extensive dimensionality that's already in play. In other words, the technocratic tendencies with a lowercase t are very objectivistic. And so I would map that and take a kind of responsibility for it. Some of the work I've already done in neurotech and medtech has crossed, for me, ethical barriers. We are doing EEGs on people and getting insights into their mind and their brain behavior, and none of that data is private. None of the considerations around the psychological implications of telling somebody, here's what's going on in your mind, and whether or not any developmental understanding is being put into play. Developmental and objective versus subjective. And do I have time for one more?
Yeah. Yes, I have two questions, but they are related.
Okay.
And the question that is behind of everything that you are proposing or you are eager to explore the internal theory, also the issue of healing.
Yes. That would be wonderful because there's a lot of potential healing technologies out there that have not even had a chance to sort of radiate out. And there's bottlenecks, but we can take it up afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.